Welcome to Creative Maine, an hour-long monthly program produced for and broadcast by Community Radio WERU, 89.9 FM Blue Hill, and at WERU.org. This show considers the making of craft, fine art, food, literature, music, dance, museums, and any other form of creative expression here in Maine. We also discuss topics of global cultural significance and interest. My name is Adina Salmonson, and I am your host for this monthly exploration of all things creative. Should you have comments, questions, input, or suggestions for the show, send them to info@weru.org. Please list Creative Maine in the subject line. On today's episode, we explore the question, who are the folk in folk music? My guests are Leslie and Larry Latour, who will be hosting the Larry and Leslie Folk Hour at 6 a.m. Sunday mornings coming soon, Molly Galler, musician, dancer, and teacher, and Pepin Middlehauser and Eloise Schultz, the duo Waxwing, and WERU hosts. Welcome, Leslie and Larry Latour. I'm so glad to have you on the show. Larry, this was your brainchild. You contacted me and said, hey, my wife and I are folk singers. We're singer-songwriters. So I said, great, I'd love to have you on. Please introduce yourselves. Describe your personal musical journeys, maybe a little bit about how you came to be a duo, how you got together, and the kind of folk music that you play.
23 years ago, we started a band called Generations, and we did that with Kathy Sikkema and Joel Gold. And so the four of us did a Generations type band, which was pure folk music.
By pure, you mean
traditional.
Traditional folk music. We played songs like Deep Blue Sea. It Was Willie What Got Drowned in the Deep Blue Sea. and This Land Is Your Land.
Pete Seeger, Woody Guthrie stuff.
So Long It's Been Good to Know You.
Okay.
Yeah, songs like that. And Dona Dona.
Well, we met a few years before that in open mics. And we had, I guess Larry was raised with different kind of music than I was. My parents were pure folkies with Pete Seeger and
Woody Guthrie,
things like that. And they had jams in the house where they all played music and had their friends over and everybody sang folk songs. So I learned that was in the early 60s, you know, it's traditional folk, all acoustic kind of stuff. And then Larry and I met at an open mic. And
I asked you if you would come and sing with us because our third person was in the hospital with kidney stones.
Kathy was sick.
And with kidney stones, and we didn't want to do just the two of us, so we got Leslie. And I said, you can come and sing four songs. But she knew them all.
I did. I knew everything they were doing
because I knew them all.
I was raised with everything that they had been playing. So I just jumped in and threw in another harmony and became a member of the band that we
named
Generations.
And then when we came down to Kathy when she got out of the hospital, we said, I have Leslie Latour, and she's the fourth member of our band.
I wasn't Leslie Latour yet.
Leslie Hamburger.
Yeah, I was still in the gym.
And she said, well, we'll see. we'll see about that.
She did, yeah. But we sang when we sat down and threw the fourth harmony in there. It was sort of the glue that pulled the whole thing together and made it a really good four-piece band.
We did shows in
museums and schools. And we went out on the Sunbeam out to the islands, out to Matinicus and Cranberry and Little Cranberry, and did concerts out there. And I spent a week, you know, around the islands of Maine and different places through Maine.
Yeah. And we played at snowmobile clubs.
Yeah. All over the place. Back
and
then.
The Keith Anderson Center with a big, I had the idea of getting our CD out to everybody.
This is the Generations CD.
The Generations CD, we recorded at Brother Al's in Bronxville.
We're talking Bronxville, New York, for those.
Bronxville, New York.
Yeah.
Yes.
New York.
That's where we're both from.
Yeah. I'm from Queens.
So after the Generations era, how did you get to Maine and from Bronxville and what happened next?
Well, we lived in Maine for a while. And then I decided that we would move to Arizona, and because my sister was out there.
Oh, that's okay. And
that's when we put together a lot of music. I came up here when I was 17 to go to college. Larry came up here to teach college back, in the late 70s.
Yeah.
And we were in the same area, but we never met until much later. And then when we did get married and moved out to Arizona, we started working on seriously songwriting.
Well, we didn't move out to Arizona until 10 years later.
Yeah.
10 years later. We got married in 2005, and we moved to Arizona in 2015.
And that's when we started, you know, really writing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We wrote a lot of stuff in Arizona. And we went out there for a month in 2016, for 3 months in 2017, for 4 months. We came back here. For 3 months in 2017, for 4 months in 2018, for 7 months in 2019. And then I said to Les, do you want to come back to Maine? And she said, oh, definitely. Right before COVID hit, we put our house on the market. And it actually sold during COVID.
Wow.
And we had tremendous fear about driving across the country.
Well, everybody did, but we rented a camper and put our four dogs and five cats in the camper and came home. we were sort of sequestered here, just like everybody else was, and started doing our show.
We did an album in 2016 in Arizona, and then in 2019 in Arizona, and then when we came back here, we did Real Music 3. In 2021, and then we did a concept album 2025, which was a big album. Yeah, it was a big album. It was a lot of stuff on it.
Okay. You know what? I have a couple of questions to follow up on this. So first, would you give us your definition of folk music? Because you're talking about pure folk music, a concept album. So when we say folk music with Leslie and Larry, what are we talking about?
Well, to me, folk music is storytelling.
Okay.
Storytelling.
Okay. And acoustic.
And maybe the folk music that we did was more of the folk revival.
Okay.
We mixed songs from old folk to the folk revival. So it's about half and half. You know, Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger and Lee Hayes and those types of songs. And it still was storytelling. Woody Guthrie was famous for writing story songs like So Long, It's Been Good to Know You. So long. It's been good to know you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So folk, you say, Leslie says acoustic, you say storytelling. Do you have to be a certain kind of person to play or sing folk music? Can you be anyone with a story to tell and an acoustic instrument? How does that work for you?
I think it's one of the kind of genres of music that people can sing that that anybody can sing. And it's an open place that makes room for everybody and anybody and doesn't narrow things down to a place where people aren't comfortable. It, I think it's so wide open. It invites people from all over, every kind of, you know, whatever they do, every kind of culture, or, you know, a jazz piano player could sing a folk song. Why not? Or a drummer could sing, you know, a folk song, or a rock and roller can sing. Anybody can. And I think it's very open, and it's historical. It carries history.
Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam is famous for doing folk songs. He's played all kinds of folk tunes.
Okay. So, Larry, I noticed from your bio that your day job used to be a computer subjects professor at UMaine.
Computer science.
Computer science. So do you ever incorporate digital techniques into your music? You just said on one hand it's acoustic.
The music that we do is when we record it, obviously there's a lot of electronics, but we don't use electronics. It's like a yin yang kind of thing. I left computer science in the dust. And then when we went to music, I tried to do it in a very straightforward way.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's just usually just voices and a guitar and acoustic and storytelling. And you know, when we do concerts or do shows online, we talk a lot about, you know, about the different stories that brought the music about. A lot of them are love stories. We've written lots and lots of love stories. And we also, we do try to get at having it be okay to feel anything and to be okay with it. Like a lot of times our music will bring up tears, and we always put a box of Kleenex on the stage because a lot of times it'll bring up tears, not only sad tears, happy tears too. But one of the things that I've always found through music is healing. It's been healing for me in my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so I've tried to pass that down through by telling stories about things that bring up a lot of emotion. And that's kind of what I do. I make people cry, and Larry will make people laugh.
We
have a full.
You know, most folk music is storytelling, but there are some songs like Barbara Allen. If you've heard Barbara Allen, it's a traditional sad song.
A lot of those old ballads are sad.
I think the difference with us is that we write a lot of happy love songs. And
well, that speaks to your wonderful musical relationship.
I didn't know what Larry did for a living until, you know, for a couple of years. We just played music, and I didn't think much about it. I was surprised to find out that he was a mathematician person.
One day, Kathy and Leslie were sitting in the back seat, and Joel and I were sitting in the front seat, and we started talking about 401ks and that kind of thing. And we got around to, well, he's a psychology professor and I'm a computer science professor. And Leslie said, I didn't know that.
Kathy didn't either. Neither of us did. Yeah.
Because
that's fun.
We tried to not bring that stuff into the folk music.
Yeah, Larry has really avoided the Dr. Latour thing, which is always kind of funny because people shift the way that they talk to him when they find out he's a doctor, and he did never like that. So he always...
And it's not... My first wife said, you're not that kind of doctor.
You're not the right kind of doctor.
You're not the right kind of doctor.
Yeah. Right. I have a friend who's a doctor and teaches at UMaine Music, and he says, I can prescribe an hour in the practice room. That's about all I can prescribe and term papers. That's my prescription.
Yeah. That's about what I do.
That's
term
funny.
Papers and
Well, tell me a little bit about your living room shows. I know that
Music
COVID is such a
therapy.
marker.
Music.
And music therapy, tell us about that.
Well, we got back to Maine and we were holed up in this house. We were stuck in this house. And we decided after about 2 or 3 months to start a music series online. And we're up to like 247 shows now.
A lot of people did that. The more that we listened and jumped online, the more we realized how many people were doing that to keep their sanity during the lockdown, during the shutdown.
I think the difference with us is we counted them.
Yeah, we counted them. And we had a
We
friend from
count.
all over the world that joined in, and then they looked forward to it every week to have their music therapy. They called it, their music therapy because it was something positive and happy and fun. And at the time when we started, we still had four dogs, different dogs than we have now, four dogs and what, four or five cats.
4 or 5 cats.
And they were all running around, and there was, all kinds of stuff going on in the house and a lot of laughter and a lot of.
And they were all of the same age, so they all died off at
Oh. Yeah, they
this
all
same
died off at the
time.
same time.
At the same time.
Yeah, we wrote a song called High Plains that was about losing one of them on the trip across the country during COVID. Yeah. There's a lot of people who really like that one. Yep.
Well, I want to, while we still have time here, for you to address your play. I understand that you are writing an autobiographical play, and I'd like to hear a little bit about that.
I decided that most of our songs are autobiographical. Most of our songs are about our relationship, right? So I decided to organize the songs in a row from start to finish, from our relationship start to what it is now. We have two people, Chris Lutine and Belinda Ganem, who are writing the book of the show. And we'll see how that goes,
Yeah,
right?
it'll be fun. We'll have a younger Larry and Leslie playing our parts and learning our music, and we'll be doing a couple of things, in the corner. And it's a hopeful, happy play about getting old, falling in love, and having a second chance, and all of the things that come along with, that go along with life in general, and getting older, and all of the things that most of us have gone through or will.
I was going to say, most of us can relate to that story.
Yeah.
Well, keep me posted and let our Creative Maine listeners know where they can find you, hear your music, and maybe catch a little music therapy.
You can find us on our website, LarryandLeslieLatour.com.
And that's LATOUR.
LATOUR, Larry and AND, LeslieLatour.com. And then we have a YouTube site, which is at youtube.com/LarryandLeslieLatour.
You can also just Google Larry and Leslie Latour,
and it'll come up.
and yeah, you'll see pictures, and they'll. There's another Larry and Leslie Latour too, but they aren't music, so you'll know. And it's
Okay.
all over the place, Spotify and
I think the
Pandora.
youtube.com/LarryandLeslieLatour gets you to the homepage.
Okay, and they can find your music on Spotify, you say?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time and coming on Creative Maine. And helping us answer the question, who are the folk in folk music?
There you go.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you for having
Thank
me.
you so much.
Creative Maine is alive with activities, presentations, workshops, concerts, and all manner of cultural endeavors. At this point in the show, we highlight a few of the many calendar items going on around the region. The Bagadoose Chorale presents the contemporary mass for peace, The Armed Man by Carl Jenkins. Two performances will be held at Ellsworth High School on Saturday, May 23rd at 4 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th at 3 p.m. For information and tickets, visit bagadoosechorale.org. On Saturday, June 6th from 4 to 8 p.m., the 60th Annual Waypoint Music Festival, a musical event to support people with autism, intellectual, and other disabilities, will be held at 5 Dunaway Drive in Sanford, Maine. The festival features the band Motor Booty Affair. For more information, visit waypointmaine.org. Wednesday, May 27th is the day. The Wilson Museum on Perkins Street in Castine, Maine opens for the 2026 season. To explore the offerings of the Wilson Museum and its calendar of events, go to wilsonmuseum.org. For a more complete listing of events, visit our website, weru.org, and click on the Community Calendar tab. If you would like to add an item to the community calendar, you may follow the prompts on the calendar page and submit your own event for the list. If you have an event that you feel is particularly pertinent to Creative Maine, send a note with the details to info@weru.org and list Creative Maine in the subject line. You are listening to Creative Maine on WERU 89.9 FM and on WERU.org. Now we talk all things folk music with Molly Gawler.
Welcome to Creative Maine, Molly Gawler. I'm so excited to have you on my show. Not only do I admire your work, but we're also neighbors, which is wonderful. You're an artistic powerhouse, a Renaissance woman, a musician, a dancer, a teacher, all the things. So please introduce yourself to our audience and describe a little bit about your personal artistic journey.
Oh, sure. Thank you, Adina. Yeah, I'm thrilled to be on the show this morning and, yeah, so happy. So, yeah, I'm Molly Gawler. And like you said, I'm a mother and a dancer and a musician, and all of those kind of intertwine in different ways. I play fiddle, and I learned fiddle and banjo and singing from my parents, from my mom and dad, Ellen and John Gawler. Mm-hmm. And I also have been a dancer in my life, studied a lot. Ballet and modern, and then was a professional dancer for a while.
And I know, it kind of blew me away when I discovered that you were with Palabolas.
Yeah, I was with Palabolas for 7 years.
And you went to school near where I grew up.
No kidding.
SUNY Purchase.
Yep, SUNY Purchase. That was
I grew up a stone's throw from there, so...
Yeah, so lots of stories to tell, and folk music has definitely been a huge part of my life all the way through until now. So,
and I think that your parents were a couple of the founders of WERU, is that right?
Oh gosh, you know, I haven't heard that story, but they have a lot of stories. They definitely were involved in Orland in their 20s because they connected with an old timer over here named Otto Soper. And they learned the old tunes and dances from him.
His kids have carried on, too. I think Chris Soper has a wonderful singing duo act. And
I'd love to connect with them some more.
Yes.
That's amazing.
So this is a little bit not on the topic, but... The topic here is who are the folk in folk music? And that is what we're exploring in today's episode. What is the difference between a violin and a fiddle?
Sure. Yeah, well, that's like a really common question that we get asked. And I like to say that it's the same body, you know, kind of like we have a body that can dance a jazz style in a classical ballet style or something like that. So it's the same with a violin. It's the same body. The physical instrument is the same. And then you can play fiddle music like Celtic or traditional folk music, or you can play classical music. And in the classical world, it's normally referred to as more of a violin. And in the folk world, it's more of a fiddle. So yeah, but they're interchangeable terms.
Yeah, it also has a different setup, doesn't it, a little bit, because the bridge is flatter. And
well, people say that, but people actually, it's not. That's kind of a myth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the same instrument. I play both. I have my violin / fiddle, and I play both classical and fiddle music on it. And a lot, that's the same for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. So how did you travel from professional dancing with the Palavalis Dance Company to fiddling in Maine? Obviously, you're from here.
Yeah, I would say that fiddling has been a through line. Dancing has been something that I've just been so drawn to in my life, and went that direction in high school and college and then my professional world. And through all of it, I never stopped playing the fiddle. I just kept going. And it was something that was, you know, even in my dancing world, it connected. Like I was making collaborations, and now I have a solo dance company called Droplet Dance. Okay. And I collaborate with traditional musicians, folk musicians from here. I just did a show with my mom and all of her fiddle students. So
it's
great. There's a lot of crossovers that happen, and I feel like the dance and the music, they're so married to each other.
It's hard to dance without music.
Yeah.
Can you do you dance traditional dances in Droplet, or do you do more modern and creative improvisational?
It's more modern. I also incorporate seer wheel in there, so circus apparatus, circus arts, and mime, physical theater, storytelling with the body, all of that is in there. Yeah.
Very unusual. I think you have a niche for yourself. You're a genre of one, which is kind of a wonderful place to be, I think.
And then I go over to Western Maine, and there's people like me at the Celebration Barn. So I'm going to go there in May. I go there every year and make new pieces and work with the director. So yeah, it's really inspiring.
Very interesting. So
yeah,
we'll get back to that. So where people can find you and watch and hear you, but back to the folk music. So
yeah.
I would maintain that fiddling and contra dance music can be classified as American folk music. Do you agree with that?
I would say so,
because the dictionary definition, a folk form of music has roots in rural communities, is passed through the generations, and has no electric or electronic instruments.
Yeah.
What is your definition of folk music? How would you define it?
Right. So folk music to me is music of the people, music of the folk, you know, so it's not too complicated. I think it's designed to be accessible so that people can get together. It's more like, what is the music we can get together with and play all together? And so there is a folk tradition in Maine of fiddling that is very robust, thanks to people of my mom and dad's generation keeping it alive and passing it on. And the whole point of fiddling is to get together with people. And also the contra dancing is a very social aspect to that. So it's about gathering together in communities. And
where does Maine fiddling and Maine music have its roots?
Yeah. Maine is really interesting, and it's pretty unique as far as the traditional fiddling style. And it's a melting pot, so it has definitely influences of French Canada, French Canadian music, Quebecois music, also Cape Breton music. And so Cape Breton is interesting because that's like really based in Scottish styles. So in Maine, we have Scottish and Irish, definitely strong Irish roots as well. Then there's maritime styles. So that's like all up and down the coast of Maine and Nova Scotia. And
I used to follow a Newfie band, which is...
Right. So the maritime styles are really awesome, really energetic. And I love the maritime styles. And then from the south, we have definitely influence from Appalachia and old time fiddling and all across the USA. So, yeah, Maine is a really, really interesting little pocket of music. And there's unique tunes that people come to Maine and say, oh, yeah, these are the ones that are played in Maine. And they're, and there's definitely a repertoire around here that's unique.
I just find it fascinating how the people from Quebec would have one branch that evolved into what we hear here and another that evolved into what you hear, say, in Louisiana.
Yes.
It's completely, we're nothing like Zydeco.
Yeah.
But didn't it come from sort of the same place?
Acadia. Yeah, Acadia. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Very interesting. So your definition is music that gets people together, that it's easy to get your hands around. It's memorizable and assumable by even people who aren't musicians. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that's the idea of it. Yep.
So who are the folk musicians and who do you need to be a member of that group?
Well, you mentioned passing it down through the generations, and I think that is part of it too, of folk music. And I like to think of it as a very open circle, welcome to anybody at all who wants to jump into this. And so for me, it was passed on through the generations. My mom and dad definitely taught me, and my sisters, and they continue to teach many children and adults alike. And
so would you say that you don't have to be from that particular ethnic group originally to enjoy playing folk music and being involved?
I think as far as ethnic groups, I think this music, it's important that it's open to everybody, all ethnic groups, you know, no matter what walk of life you are, please do pick up a banjo or a fiddle.
Okay, in fact, so people don't get all wound up over cultural appropriation and that sort of stuff.
Well, I just mentioned banjo, and banjo is actually really a particular instrument because it came from Africa with the enslaved people, went to in the Caribbean. That's when the banjo was almost like remade because they couldn't bring the actual instruments there. So there's a lot of really amazing research and acknowledgement done by Rainey and Giddens right now. So I would encourage people to look up her book, Well of Souls.
Well of really Souls. Tell her name again.
Rainey and Giddens. She's actually coming to Maine really soon. She's my favorite banjo player. So then from there, it did land in New Orleans in Louisiana and then spread through USA and then spread through the entire world. So the banjo is seen as like an American instrument, but people have to remember that it's actually an African origin. So that's, as far as cultural appropriation, that's one thing I would mention. I think there's a lot to say about that. Yeah.
But people who are in the folk music world don't want to keep people out because they're like New York Jewish or something. It's like you can be anybody and play.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I actually feel like I'm a guest here. And I'm a beginner in whatever circle I'm in still. I'm always learning. Yeah. And then I went to Scotland recently, and then I felt like, yeah, so many similarities, and also felt like a beginner again. Like, wow, like this is where all this Scottish music came from and all the Scottish tunes. And yeah, it's really great to go back to Ireland and Scotland and England, where these tunes have come from. And it's really interesting as well, because when people were forbidden to play their fiddles in Scotland, that's when music was kind of blooming in Cape Breton. So sometimes some of the tunes that were lost actually live in Cape Breton, and then Scottish people come and say, oh my gosh, there's the tune that was lost. And yeah, so interesting stories there too.
Yes, that's fantastic. Are you Scottish by heritage yourself?
No, I have a bit of Swedish.
Really?
Swedish, French, German, English. Yeah, and in fact, Sweden too. That's another tradition I haven't mentioned, but we're around here in Maine, we're bonkers over Swedish music, traditional fiddling. Yeah, and there's a real, there happens to be a real interchange going on with my generation at the moment, of like our mid-coast Maine fiddlers that are traveling to Sweden, and Swedish musicians are traveling to Maine, and we're having this real cultural connection that's going on.
Cross-pollination. It's wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's very interesting. I didn't know about that. So, when you play in your current musical experiences, are you pushing the genre envelope of folk?
Well, I would say yes. I think tradition, you know, tradition is so interesting, because tradition, and that ties in with folk music, it's like about being like really true to what was before. So like going back to old recordings and mimicking them, and then integrating them, and then improvising with them. That's kind of like the three steps. You imitate first. That's like an important thing with folk music. You really kind of imitate, and really, if you're singing a folk song, you can sit with an old woman, for example, and just try to exactly imitate her intonation and inflection and everything, and kind of take that into yourself, and then integrate it into your own. So make it your own, like really, yeah, this is me now. And then from there, there's innovation. So that's where you were asking about, you know, how is this expanding? And I would say that when I play with my contra dance band, with Bennett Kinesny and Shepsy Eaton, there's a lot of innovation that's going on. And we definitely draw upon the old tunes that we love. And then we play the heck out of them and just see where it goes, you know?
Yeah. Very good. So how can our Creative Maine listeners find you, hear your music, see performances, maybe study with you, or find performances on recordings or online?
Sure. Yeah, so my name's Molly Gawler, G-A-W-L-E-R, and you can simply look up Gawler Family. There's a lot on the internet there. And then I would direct people to Bagadoo's Music. That's where I teach and do a lot of performances there. Bagadoo's Music out of Blue Hill, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of information on that platform, website, and give us a call too. Be happy to talk with anybody.
Excellent. Well, what's the next thing coming up for you? Where are you performing around here next?
Yeah, well, we're going to hop on the schooner on the J&E Riggin. That's the next thing. The Gawler family is providing music for the people that are sailing around the bay. And then I will be jumping in at the Celebration Barn in Western Maine for 1 week, doing my dance work and fiddling, and At the end of that, I'll have a show on May 30th. And Galler Family's performing at Belfast Summer Nights this summer, and Surrey Contra Dance, I'll be performing and adding the fiddle music on July 11th. We'll be at the Searsport Congregational Church on July 12th. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can keep your eyes out for Galler Family events and Contra Dances and things like that.
Wonderful. Well, this has been such a pleasure. Very interesting. And I look forward to talking with you more.
Oh, Adina, thank you so much. It's been a total joy.
Welcome, Pepin Middlehauser and Eloise Schultz, to Creative Maine. You are both musicians, actors, writers, teachers, as well as beloved members of my WERU family. Would you please introduce yourselves, describe what you do, both in life and in art, and so we can get to know you a little bit better.
Sure. Thank you, Adina. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Eloise Schultz. I am a DJ for two programs on WERU, the Sunday Morning Coffee House and New Potatoes. Uh-huh. I also have been serving on the board for the last year, and that's a real honor. And then in my creative life, I am a musician. I play a bunch of different instruments, mainly brass instruments like the flugelhorn. And then I also play guitar, and I just started learning the English concertina, which is a passion of mine. And I sing. I've been performing as a singer for most of my life. Right now I perform with an international folk dancing band, and then Pepin and I have our duo. Then also creatively, I'm a poet, and I am working on a manuscript about folk music. So I've been trying to pull my creative lives together through that.
Wow. Renaissance woman. Pepin, how about you?
Yeah, thank you, Adina. My name is Pepin Middlehauser. I am also a musician and, as you said, actor and wear many hats. I work at WERU as the digital operations manager currently. I've been involved at WERU, I realize, for just over 5 years now, and I'm extremely happy with where I'm at with that. I also co-host with Eloise sometimes on New Potatoes. And then in addition, I'm an alternating host on Off the Record on Friday afternoons. Wow. And yeah, I play a lot of music all over Maine and New England and further afield with all sorts of folks in, I think everything that I play can be classified in the folk music tradition, which is a broad umbrella that I'm sure we'll get into. But I am also a singer and untrained operatic singer in some regards.
Very natural. Yeah. You're natural. I've heard Gilbert and Sullivan and other things, operettas with you in it. So the two of you perform together, as you mentioned. What do you have a name for your duo?
Yeah, we're called Waxwing together. It is definitely within the folk tradition, but I don't think it holds to a specific genre beyond that. We play all sorts within the kind of acoustic singing instrumental tradition, from ballads to kind of contemporary pop covers and all sorts of things like that.
Putting them together.
Yes.
Well, I think in this case, acoustic is the operative word. When you look at a definition of what is folk music, it's a wide field and it includes it having to be acoustic instruments. It includes having to have roots in rural America or not America necessarily, but rural communities. So what is your definition of folk music? How would you define that?
It's such a great question, Adina. I came to folk music kind of late. I have a background in classical or early music and jazz, both of which were sort of introduced to me through institutions. Whereas I think of folk music as really emerging and belonging to communities and having distinctive flavors of where people come from and the different cultural traditions that merge together in beautiful ways. And the folk music that we play has really been influenced a lot by Celtic music, by Quebecois music. I mean, they share ancestry. So I think the folk is by nature inclusive, and the genre is always evolving. What's important to me about folk music is that it feels very alive. Often it's passed through an oral tradition. So it could be transcribed or written down, but it's really learned by ear and learned by heart first. Mm-hmm. And so it's constantly evolving and is inflected by the voices of the people who are carrying it into the future.
It's interesting that you say you have a background in early music, because I feel that that was a form of folk music, maybe in the early part of the modern era. I don't know, what would you call it, like the medieval period.
Absolutely.
and the Renaissance period. It was based on local tunes and local traditions.
Definitely an exchange between the two. A lot of that music that was transcribed was courtly music. So it was adopted and performed as part of entertainment for the aristocracy. But it has really strong roots in folk songs and ballads. And one of the things I love about the tunes that are played today in New England is that there's a really clear lineage and an acoustic similarity to the Baroque music that I grew up playing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, maybe also because it's acoustic. That really was before people were shredding. They were electrically, they were shredding acoustically.
Yes.
Nobody was plugged in
a Baroque harp.
14th century, no.
Yeah. Pepin and I have a friend, Phoebe, who plays Baroque harp amazingly. And the way that she shreds on that instrument.
She absolutely does. Yeah. Phoebe Durand McDonald. Yeah.
Wow. Well, we call sackbuts liberated trombones.
Oh, yeah.
A sackbut is the forerunner of the trombone, and it looks like the bell was chopped off. It's not flared the way a modern instrument would be, but yeah.
I would almost think I don't know, I know very little about early music, but the difference in my mind in that electric versus acoustic modern idea of it back then almost has how clean the music sounds. You know, classical, which I wouldn't consider folk, has a very clean, true ringing sound to it, whereas the sort of early music, what we might describe as folk in that time, is a little grittier in a way. Mm-hmm. It's not quite as cleaned up and as pure in kind of a relatable way.
Interesting. Okay, I like that take on it. So do you have a take on who can be a folk musician? You were saying it's very broad and inclusive. So
I definitely think it is incredibly broad and inclusive. I was thinking about the definition of folk, and I think the acoustic element is an important part of it, but I did come up with one example that a popular musician right now and for the last decade or more is Shaky Graves, who was primarily acoustic and then went into more of an electric folk, I would say, and it has elements of electric sound to it, but I might still describe it as folk. And so musically, I think there's a much broader spectrum that we can include in the genre. One of the shows that I host, Off the Record, is an indie, quote unquote, indie genre show, which doesn't have much meaning into what that includes anymore, because the indie genre of music isn't limited to independent music labels, which is what it originally meant. Mm. It's an element of sound that you might be able to lump things together with. So
well,
I
remember when Dylan started to employ electric instruments.
Oh, yeah.
People were hysterical, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was a traitor to the cause and all the things. And
many people definitely would not call that folk whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Would, you know, immediately it transfers into rock, I guess.
I think every genre has its traditionalists. Even within folk or traditional music, there are people who will hear an Irish tune played in a creative way or with a guitar, because that might not have been traditional, and say, well, that's not real Irish music. And so
real in air quotes. Yes.
Yeah. And folk music also has strong traditions that anything that is created or innovated on is always made in conversation, sometimes in defiance of that tradition.
So we're talking mostly about American folk music here, but I know the world has a totally unique folk tradition in each region.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say that the overarching similarities that combine them all is less the sound and more the people, is the folk behind the folk music. And that's the major genre connection between all of them across the whole world.
So anyone can be a folk.
I would say so, yeah. Just find the people and join them and you're a folk musician.
So you feel that the accepted idea and the practice of folk music has definitely morphed since, you know, the 50s, 60s, and 70s in this country.
I would say the genre sounds different. Mm-hmm. The accepted genres would sound different from modern folk to that mid-century folk. I would say the intentionality and, you know, what Eloise just mentioned about the elements of community and resistance that really imbue folk as a genre haven't changed whatsoever in a very long time.
Mm-hmm. And I would agree with that. I think that actually the practice of it has been consistent. It's a movement, and my definition of folk music really starts, or what I practice in folk music is part of a tradition that starts in the 1500s, not the 50s and 60s. So Pepin and I play, we have a song that's our cover of, it's called The Dominion of the Sword. And it was a poem that was scribed in the 1700s on a broadside that was then put to music. And the music it was put to was an even more ancient pipe tune from Brittany. It's really old. And That's yet cool. It still rings so true. And it's fun to feel the grit and the power and the truth of that song when we sing it.
And there's recent lyrics that were added to it. A couple of choruses that are contemporary that were added on by a group. I forget which group it was, but
I think the Melrose Quartet.
Things occur to me as we talk, and I'm part of a performance upcoming of the Bagaduce Chorale, which is not folk music, but they're performing a contemporary version of the Latin Mass, which is based on a tune called L'Homme Armé, or The Armed Man, which was one of the first pieces of Western music that has come down to us. And it's about war, and war is hell, and it was a protest song about that, and now this fellow Jenkins is using it as the basis for his contemporary piece. So I think what we're saying is music never goes away and ideas never go away. They just recycle in a more contemporary way. So Waxwing, what you've started to tease a little bit about what it is that you play. Is it mostly songs that you have written, and or is it contemporary versions of older songs, or a mix of everything?
It's primarily contemporary versions of older songs. I would say, Pepin, if I may, that we probably started as a Keith Murphy cover band, who's one of
absolutely
one of my greatest musical influences. And I just really wanted to sing the way he does. And Pepin also loves his music. Keith often performs with his partner, Becky Tracy, who plays the fiddle. And I had been learning to play guitar. So that's how we started, but have since branched out and included lots of different songs, and are now working on arranging some tunes as we just explore what we both play a lot of different instruments and have a lot of different influences. So we mostly play together and explore.
Mm-hmm. So it's not all songs. There's a lot of instrumentals as well.
Yeah,
yes, first I hear that you play flugelhorn. That's very exciting.
It is. Eloise is also an expert whistler amongst many other expert talents.
Instrument. Yeah. Sometimes the whistling comes in.
Wow. Kind of like Whistler and his dog, or, you know, that's what you think of when you think of.
Like Whistler's mother, the painting.
Different kind of whistler.
Different kind of whistling. Okay. Yeah, I actually, not that I There is a school of musical whistling, not officially, but it's its own genre of music. So I
think somebody wrote a concerto for whistle, like.
Yeah, I have heard whistling on WERU before, because there's a really phenomenal jazz whistler, Molly Lewis, who put out an album, I think just last year, called On the Lips.
Wow.
She's great. Wonderful. Anyway, I heard it on WERU.
Don't try to play flugelhorn and then try to whistle. It doesn't work. Ask me how I know. So I understand that recorded performances of the two of you are few and far between, if extant at all. But where can people find you? How do you, are there any recent recordings in the archives of WERU?
There wouldn't be any in the archives of WERU. We have a very rarely updated Instagram page, waxwing.band. If we do have any concerts or anything coming up, we will post about it there, I'm sure. And I believe there is one clip of us at our usual digs. We are an exclusive to WERU and the Crumpet in Bucksport band, at least thus far.
Those have been our venues. There may be bootleg footage. If anyone listening has friends who frequent the Crumpet, you may be able to track it down. I also have a website where I will post things about music and my poems as they get published. And that's my name, EloiseSchultz.com. Or if you Google me, it'll come up.
So S-C-H-U-L-T-Z.
That's it.
How about you, Pepin? Do you have an online presence?
Not as much of one. I haven't built a website yet, but I am on Instagram primarily at radio.pepin. If people want to follow me there. There is plenty of other content out there of other people that I play with. I mostly play with the fiddler Gus LaCase in the area. We together are contra dance bands that have played up and down the coast as far south as Baltimore and as far out west as Burlington so far. Haven't gotten further than that yet.
Poetry, you have your Eloise Schultz.
www.eloiseschultz.com.
Okay, and people can find links to...
I have a book that's forthcoming. I think it'll be out next fall through Alternating Current Press. It's called Dug Out, and it's actually about something totally different. It's about history and geology.
Well, you have been so informative. This has been such an interesting discussion. Thank you so much for helping us solve the riddle of who are the folk in folk music. And I'll look forward to speaking with you both again.
Thank you so much to my delightful guests, Leslie and Larry Latour, Molly Gawler, Pepin Middlehauser, and Eloise Schultz. Music written and performed by all my guests have been sprinkled throughout the show, including Restless by the Latours, Partie de danse acadienne, a traditional tune performed by Molly Gawler, and Dominion of the Sword by Waxwing. Our theme music is composed and performed by Ariel Chapman. If you have questions or comments for me or any of our guests, please send them to info@weru.org. Please write Creative Maine in the subject line. Please join Creative Maine at WERU 89.9 FM or on WERU.org for another eclectic episode on Thursday, June 18th at 4 p.m., when we will discover what's in the oven in Maine. Thank you so much for listening. This is Adina Salmonson wishing you a wonderful month of the arts and crafts that enrich your life and bring you joy.